Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows, Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Job 23. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Job 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter, and my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to a seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered from ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. And neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, and neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our most holy, all-knowing, everywhere present, all faithful and ever good-doing God. Then in this morning hour, then we and our children, we are a proof thereof. Where thou wast graciously cared, spared, provided, protected for another week, wherever we were called to be, in the home, on the way, at work, on the field. Lord, may it please thee in this morning, when we may meet one another once more within the walls of thy house, a deep impression of thy mercy and of thy long suffering over a sinful and an unthankful people. May it please thee by the first time and by renewal to grant something in our hearts of what that centurion was given to experience and given to confess, that he was unworthy, that thou would come under his roof. Wilt thou grant a little of the heart of that publican, where he was given to smite the same, and beg, God be merciful to me a sinner, O Lord. Do bless us and our children with the blessings of thy right hand. May it please thee in this morning hour to bless the singing out of thy word. Wilt thou bless the reading of thy holy law? Then by renewal, then we have heard what sinners we are. Wilt thou also impress upon our hearts the great sin of our unthankfulness, where the earth is so full of thy goodness and of thy gifts, and so empty of thy praise? May that become our guilt, and that room may be made for him, thy dear Son, who was perfectly glorified thee upon this earth for all thy precious gifts. May it please thee in this morning hour to bless thy holy word, Lord, May it be the hour of thy sovereign good pleasure for boys and girls, for our youth, and for the older ones, the hour of their conversion, when they may be pricked in their heart, when it all may become different, when they may become a sinner before thee, humbled under thy goodness, a lively impression, a soul for eternity, that missing, and that it may be given all for a Job. It was by renewal, but where he has uttered those words, oh, that I knew where I might find him, then I would come to a seat and order my cause before them. Lord, wilt thou use it for the instruction, for the comfort, the edification, also the correction of thy people? Wilt thou do in the midst of thy church what thou doest in the realm of nature, and we may acknowledge thee therefore, that thou grantest rain, that thou grantest sunshine, that thou grantest growth and also opportunity to harvest what thou hast given to grow. May it be all thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance and to receive that faith in thy dear Son, O wonder-doing God. Wilt thou stretch out thy almighty arm and manifest those wonders in the hearts of us and our children in this dark and solemn time. Then we commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, with all those that labor therein. Remember thy truly called servants, elders and deacons. Remember the students, him who was candidate, who has accepted a call. Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that goes before him? Wilt thou remember all our temporal needs, also the manifold blessings? And then we commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony. They have begun life's journey together as husband and wife, and it is the first Lord's Day in their married state. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to make it an unforgettable day for them, that they may be humbled under thy goodness, that there may be a little bewilderment, and above all, that thy holy word may be blessed to their souls, then it would be an unforgettable day indeed. We commend unto thee all those that mourn the loss of loved ones, the widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Oh, do continue to uphold them, sanctify the callings. Remember all our elderly ones in the care home, with those that care for them, those that may still go in and out. The infirmity shall only increase. Above all things, do save their never-dying souls. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care, we may acknowledge thee, that in the past weeks there have been none in the hospital. That is also a wonder. May we be given to see it, but, ah, Lord, thou knowest there are those that are struggling with pain, fears, and concerns, difficulties of the body, difficulties of the mind. We commend unto thee the handicapped. Wilt thou remember them all? And when thou grantest a fair measure of health and strength, may we be given to often pause, consider thy goodness, when in the family circles no empty places, may we become small, when thou blessest the labor of our hands, may we be given to see thy hand therein. Lord, we humbly ask thee in this morning hour, that it may please thee to grant the opening of thy precious testimony, to grant the leading of thy Holy Spirit. May thy word go forth with power divine. May it be used for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Remember those in their homes, that are in their homes, lawful circumstances. Wilt thou grant a blessing upon thy holy word, also in their dwellings? Lord, so we have many reasons to acknowledge thee, many things to ask for the time, for our souls. Thou art the giver of all things, because it is written in thy word, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of a turning. We have nothing to plead upon, and to that end, may we be given to beg for thy mercy, and that we ask in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 144, the stanzas 2 through 6. O Lord, now open thou my lips, long closed by sin and shame. My mouth shall show before the world the glory of thy name. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 144, the stanzas 2 through 6. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Job 23, the 16th verse, the first part. For God maketh my heart soft. Our text words speak, our text for God maketh my heart soft. With four thoughts in the first place, the description of a soft heart. Secondly, the giver of a soft heart. Thirdly, the blessing of a soft heart. And fourthly, the watchfulness over a soft heart. For God maketh my heart soft. The description, the giver, the blessing, and the watchfulness over a soft heart. As first, the description. Beloved congregation, our text words have been taken out of the book of Job. And that is a book that receives more meaning for the suffering and the mourning ones. Many times it even takes place that this book is especially read under those circumstances, and that the book receives more meaning. Because when we are all healthy and strong, the Lord blesses our labors, not an empty place in the family circle. Then let us be honest, then we can read the book of Job, but not so much connection. But when it pleases the Lord to send trials, chastisements, and death, then it becomes different. The first two chapters, the prologue, the history, how that the Lord has blessed Job, and in one day, everything taken away except the wife, that has said, curse God and die. Then in the next chapters, beginning in chapter 3 to the end of chapter 31, then we read of the conversations, the dialogues between Job and his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Also in a very orderly manner, then first Job was given to speak, and then the friends have waited till he has ceased, then Eliphaz, then Job by renewal, and then Bildad would speak, then Job by renewal, and then Zophar. That has taken place three times, although the last set of speeches, then Zophar has not spoken, perhaps he was talked out. Not such a bad place to come at times. Then in chapter 32 through 36, then Elihu, he was the fourth friend, he was the youngest. He has listened to Job and the other three friends, and he became very upset because Job, oh, it is true, that is a blessing. When the Lord sends special troubles, that with a clear conscience we may tell the Lord that there is no special sin, it can be so different. when the Lord comes with trials and chastisements, that we know the reason why the Lord has sent that chastisement. When the Lord sends no chastisement, then it can really be an astonishment that the Lord does not come against us. But those three friends, says Job, then it is very clear that there have been special sins or a special sin in your life, and therefore the Lord has come with chastisements. Then in chapter 38, the Lord began to speak in the end that Job was given to abhor himself in dust and ashes, and the Lord has blessed him. In our chapter, then Job is given to answer Eliphaz in chapter 22. And then indeed, his friend has spoken very unadvisably to Job. Can a man be profitable unto God? As he that is wise may be profitable unto himself. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? And then in the verses 6 through 9, then his friend Eliphaz was given to accuse Job of matters which he had no proof of. Then he said, Job, you have not remembered the orphans, the widows, the fatherless. Thus there are many sins on your account. And then he is given advice, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Therefore good shall come unto thee, receive. I pray thee the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. Then we can understand that Job in chapter 16 has said that they were miserable comforters. And now in this chapter, even today, is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. And then concerning the softness of heart, because in this morning we must make a separation. There is a difference in our constitutions and our characters. But when a Job was given to exclaim for, that word for, that refers to the former verses, and that is in the context of three matters, and that is necessary for us and our children to remember with the explanation of this text. And then in the first place, it was in the absence of the Lord. Because we read, we have heard it, and that is not a strange matter for the child of God. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to a seat. Then Job, he was troubled with the absence of the special favor of the Lord. Then in this morning concerning Job, then we are not to speak concerning his state, because his state was sure, and he has come to that knowledge of that precious Redeemer. Because in chapter 19, there he has exclaimed those precious words. It was not a hope, but it was a sure knowledge. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Thus then it is clear that for Job his state lieth sure, but a desire for that precious communion, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to a seat. That's 1 week. Speak of the softness of heart. Then it can be seeking souls that are so concerned about their state, about their sins, upon their missing, that they can have such a soft heart. And then it can be for a child of God that is led further, but that is so missing that soft heart. But now with Job under these circumstances, and then we have said 3 points that we must place close attention to examine whether we have a soft heart that is given by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the true child of God, they examine themselves oftentimes concerning that softness of heart. Is it now that I have a softer character, more emotional? Has it been special circumstances? Or is it the true work of the Lord? Oh, then in this chapter, concerning the right softness of heart, which the Lord grants to his people by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, virtue, the finished work of that precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first point is concerning the missing of the Lord. Ah, that is such an unbearable burden. Ah, that people are given to cry. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Then in the second place, then we read in the verses 11 and 12, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Thus that is the second point. First, a soft heart because of that absence and that missing. And how does that people know that missing? Because they have experienced something of his presence, of his visits, the power of his word. Then secondly, in the context of his holy word, because that people, they learn to love that word and his commandments. And then in the third place, when our text is for God, then the former verses, then it speaks of the presence of the Lord, for he is of one mind, and who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. Thus an impression of the greatness and majesty of that great God that has made his heart soft. Oh, in the Bible, and boys and girls, when in this morning we speak of a heart, then of course I think you know that we are not speaking of the organ that pumps blood. But then it speaks of our feelings, our emotions, our affections, our desires, our longings, even including our intellect. It includes the whole person, what our heart goes out after. In the scriptures, then we read of many different descriptions of the heart. If we just take the book of the Psalms to mention a few, Psalm 7 verse 10, and we find it 7 times in the book of the Psalms, the upright in heart, Psalm 12 verse 2, one with a double heart, 24 verse 4, a pure heart, 38 verse 8, a disquieted heart, 51 verse 10, a clean heart, and also the 17th verse, a broken and contrite heart. Much similarity to our text. In Psalm 101, we read of 3 different hearts, a perfect heart, a froward heart, a proud heart. in Psalm 119, verse 32, an enlarged heart, and in verse 111, the rejoicing of my heart, and that in opposition we also read of other hearts, in Isaiah 46, verse 12, of a stout heart, Ezekiel 36, verse 26, of a stony heart, and in Zechariah 7, verse 12, a heart like a diamond. And now, when we read in our text, for God maketh my heart soft, what are we now to understand what Job is speaking of? That is a heart that becomes exercised with the Lord in the presence of divine majesty, and that we learn much of those attributes exercised therewith. And in that context, then we receive a soft heart because of our sins, the sins committed against a just and a good-doing God. A soft heart when we hear the explanation of the Ten Commandments. How has it been, congregation, when by renewal we have stood different times at the foot of Mount Sinai? Have you then indeed received the soft heart? And that is a heart that begins to mourn and begins to weep. An impression that because of our sins, that we must miss that good doing, that gracious and just God. Oh, a soft heart that is a weeping heart that goes out after the Lord. Oh, that soft heart may say with the Peter of old at the Sea of Tiberias, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, Lord, it is true. Ah, that heart, there is so much evil therein. Lord, thou knowest the desire, if it was possible, if I could pluck that evil heart out of my bosom and cast it away and have a heart to fear thee perfectly. That is my desire and that is my longing. Oh, a soft heart that becomes ashamed under the goodness of the Lord when I commit so much evil. Oh, a soft heart that is soft, that is tender concerning the things of the Lord. That is a heart that is exercised with His glory. Ah, then they are in their element when that heart may have a desire that he receives all the honor and all the glory. That is a heart that is exercised with the coming of His heart, with the coming of His kingdom. Oh, a soft heart that is a pliable heart, because we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, that is the precious work of the Spirit, that He takes that stony heart away, and that He grants a heart of flesh, that becomes a heart that is pliable, a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. And now a sure mark of that soft heart, that is a heart that has much to do with a stony heart. A truly soft heart that complains much of the hardness and the stoniness of their heart. For God maketh my heart soft. The giver of a soft heart says, for the Lord is so sovereign, the Lord is free. That is a gift which the Lord grants unto His true people. And now we must make a separation when we read, for God maketh, of course, boys and girls, the Lord has also created us. He has given us a heart. And then there is a difference in characters. Some are made with a softer nature than others. To give an example, there can be boys and girls when they have done something wrong, that their father and mother only has to look, and they are ashamed, and maybe even a tear. For other boys and girls, takes a little more. Of course, a softer heart, a nature that can be much easier for ourselves and also for our fellow man. But when we read in our text, "For God maketh my heart soft," that is an active work. That is the work of God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit by the first time and by renewal, because it is clear the testimony in chapter 1, verse 1, that Job, a man in Uz, feared God, perfect, eschewed evil, that Job had a tender life with the Lord. And in the 5th verse of that chapter, that in the morning he offered burnt offerings for all his children. Thus then we see that Job, bedewed with grace, close life with the Lord. But in our text it is given to declare, "For God maketh," that is at the present, that is each time by renewal. And when a child of God may be busy with the things of the Lord, then they have to ask each time by renewal in the busyness of life, and there can be so much that draweth them away, and in a way of backsliding, when they become so lean, when they become slothful concerning the means of grace, then they experience that their heart seems to become so hard. But now with Job in this chapter, when he was given to speak of those three matters, that I knew where I might find him, exercised with the commandments of the Lord, but also a deep impression of the majesty of his great God, "For God maketh my heart soft." How does the Lord now do that? He has many means. In the first place, by the Word of God. Because in the Word of God it is declared who the Lord is. And the more we may learn who the Lord is, the smaller, the more humble, and the softer our heart shall become. Thus by the Word, Romans 10, verse 17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Think on the day of Pentecost. Those 3,000, many of them hands stained with blood of Jesus, cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then they were pricked in that heart. And that heart has become so soft, so quickly. What a wonderful work. Men and brethren, then we hear the love that those prick sinners had for apostles that were preaching their great sin which they have committed, where they have crucified the Lord of glory, and now he has become Lord and Christ. "For God maketh my heart soft." We read in Romans 2 verse 4, "Or despisest thou the goodness of his riches and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance?" Who would not become soft? Fathers and mothers, when the Lord grants you a child, think of Enoch in Genesis 5 when he received Methuselah. Then he began to walk with God. Think of Aaliyah. Mention the name of the Lord with the birth of the first three. But with Judah, she was given to praise the Lord. Oh, think of Hannah, where she has begged the Lord for a little child, which she would lend to the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 2, we read her song of thanksgiving. Thus the goodness of the Lord. Oh, whose heart would not become soft, farmers. When the Lord is grand and gentle rains, we have spoken thereof 2 weeks ago, out of Psalm 65, verse 10, that the Lord softens the earth when everything is so brown and it may turn green, when farmers may see their cows and calves, a parched pasture, and now a lushy pasture that you can hardly see the calves, who would not become soft? Do you ever have trouble therewith? And we could multiply it out. When a couple gets married on their special day, who would not receive a soft heart? Saturday evening, when our family circles may be spared, who would not receive a soft heart? Are you sometime troubled therewith, congregation, with all the blessings of the Lord, and that you can live so easily on, and that you have to confess to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is my heart now becoming so hard? Thou art so good and so merciful. My eyes are so dry, and it seems that my heart is past feeling." Does that ever become our need? Even a little shocked. And we could say, of course, the same thing we have begun under the Word. So many sermons. How terrible it is to be unconverted. The blessedness of God's people, that precious Savior that can save to the uttermost, whosoever cometh unto him, I will in no wise cast out. And that, "Oh Lord, that I have to place myself with the Jewish people," where Jesus has said that parable of boys and girls. They were playing, and there was a funeral, but we have not wept, and the marriage, and we have not rejoiced. What a psalms of praise we have in our Bible, where the psalmist's heart was indeed softened by the goodness of the Lord, where the high praises of the Lord were upon their lips, for God maketh my heart soft. Many times the Lord also uses sickness, death, trials, disappointments. Then the Lord is speaking in a special way. And has it then been, "For God maketh my heart soft"? Then our text, the giver, not to excuse herself, but God maketh our heart soft. Then it can be that we stand on the cemetery, an open grave, a coffin with the deceased, ready to be entrusted to the womb of the earth, and that we go home, and that we have to think and hopefully lay it before the Lord. "Lord, I have been at a funeral in thy house, heard thy word, reality before my eyes, maybe a younger one, may be a child. And, ach, Lord, they have to confess that there was so little or even none of the softness of heart. For God maketh my heart soft. Then how necessary to continually ask the Lord that our heart may be made soft indeed. The psalmist in Psalm 119, the verses 67 through 71, has declared that before those trials and chastisements that he has went astray, but when the Lord has sent him, that he has kept the law of the Lord. A softening of the heart. How is it with our hearts? Of course, we need a new heart. But now our text that speaks of a soft heart, thus that speaks to the unconverted, the need, the necessity, but also the necessity in the life of God's people each time by renewal. And the Lord has a people that has much trouble with their heart, of that evil heart. And now it is the work of the Holy Spirit by the preaching of the law to uncover them more and more. No fruit from this heart forevermore. The justice of God requires perfect satisfaction. Ah, then they need him in congregation. When that takes place, then also our text shall be fulfilled. For God maketh my heart soft. When they are given to behold, given to understand, given to believe, given to embrace him with a perfect heart, him with a soft heart, but who has been led to the cross. And do I not read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall weep bitterly for him whom they have pierced, as one mourneth for an only son. Oh, then it cannot be different, for God maketh my heart soft when they are given to behold that unfathomable love of a triune God. Oh, the electing love of the Father, never because of anything, because the Lord has looked upon the earth. If there was one with a soft and a pliable heart, but they have all gone astray. They have all hardened themselves. There were none that understood. Oh, when they are given to behold the love of Christ, that he was willing to suffer and die, that he was willing to send his spirit that the heart may be made soft under the preaching of the law, under his goodness. Oh, the work of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit was willing virtue, the finished meritorial work of Jesus Christ in the state of his humiliation and as a fruit in the state of his exaltation, that he was willing to take habitation in such a heart. Oh, a Job was given to say, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials, oh, an unfathomable way, oh, it is true. Job has also spoken unadvisably with his lips. But what a privilege for that Job. Oh, that he could say, on the pile of ashes, his possessions all taken away, that he still, to say it reverently, that he still had God over in his life, and that in the way of experience, oh, for God maketh my heart soft. Our third thought, the blessing of a soft heart. Let us first sing Psalter 169, the three stanzas. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. And what follows, 169, the three stanzas. For God maketh my heart soft. The description, the giver, and now the blessings of a soft heart. Congregation, how is it now with our hearts concerning a soft heart? Does that ever take place? Or not so often? We have mentioned many different reasons, even outwardly. When we come to the majestic mountains, then who would not receive a soft heart when we may be given to see the greatness of the Creator? When we may see the lush pastures, who would not receive a soft heart? And let us remember, congregation, that the Lord can also command the clouds not to snow upon the mountains. And then with everything that we have, then everything shall become a desert. Who would not receive a soft heart under the proclamation of law and gospel? And how is it now? How long has it been ago? Then we even speak in an outward way that there were soft hearts. You have become small. Few tears. Maybe fathers and mothers around the kitchen table too given to speak the Lord and of His works and in the context of what I make myself worthy of, my sins, my transgressions, my unthankfulness. Should it then not be a wonder, the Lord's goodness? Does it ever take place in the morning hour when we may see the dawn of another day? We may hear the birds sing the praises of the Lord. When the Lord granteth another Lord's day, and we are given to ask the Lord's blessing when we come up to God's house for a blessing upon His word, that our heart becomes soft. But of course we have stated not only a soft heart, but a new heart. How are we to separate? For God maketh my heart soft. What does that lead to, that soft heart? Does it bring us closer to God and to His word? Or can we continue even at times when we are broken and humbled, even outwardly, still continue to live as we are and no repentance? Because in the true work of the Lord, that soft heart, that brings closer, even returns. Because also a child of God, how they can backslide, be so busy in the world, set up their idols which they worship. What a work the Lord has with His people. But He shall never forsake them. Each time by renewal, they shall receive the soft heart. Think of David in Psalm 51. Oh, through his great sin, then his heart was not so soft, no. Then he commanded Job to put Uriah on the front that he would be slain, covered up. But the Lord has sent Nathan, thou art the man. And that fell in good soil. Then his heart became soft. And then he was given to declare, Psalm 51, verse 17, a broken and a contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise. Of course, also in society, we read it in the latter times, Christ has spoken thereof in Matthew 24, verse 12, that the love of many shall wax cold, because iniquity shall increase. And concerning a soft heart can even be in the world, compassion and help that can even put the church to shame. But now the question is whether a soft heart brings us more at the throne of grace, repenting of our sins that is so missed. And our young people live not in an easy time, because we live in a time, seems to be, of course God's word does not change and the Lord does not change, but used to be sin in former days. For many is sin no more. But the Lord is unchangeable. But now the blessing of a soft heart. We have seen it in the realm of nature. Boys and girls, you have seen it. Dry land, where no rain has fallen, the farmers have planted their seed, did not even germinate, remained brown. But when the Lord has sent those refreshing showers to make that earth soft, then in a short time, completely different, became green, as shall become fruitful. Oh, when the Lord sends down the showers of the Spirit, makes the heart soft, then you find that people often on their knees, oh, that I knew where I might find them. And with the presence of the Lord in the context, then that word soft, that in the original can also mean to be faint and faint-hearted. Then when we read of a Job, that in those mysterious and unfathomable ways, let's say if Job had been very greedy and not helped the poor and kept everything for himself, then surely for a Job, it would have not been such a mysterious way. Then the Job would soon be given to realize that the Lord has come to chastise me because I was only working for self. But that is clear. That was not the case with Job. But what a deep and unfathomable way. The way that the Lord has led him. And therefore, when he says, the Lord maketh my heart soft, then it speaks that he was faint and faint-hearted concerning the Lord's dealing with him. But now the blessings of a soft heart. Then there shall be a hating and a fleeing of sin. Then there shall be a need for mercy, a need for forgiveness. Then that people shall be profitable for their fellow man. Isaiah 1 verse 9, the prophet has declared, except the Lord has left in our midst a very small remnant, we would have been a Sodom and like unto Gomorrah. That's what a blessing it is that God's people are for a congregation, for a nation. Young people, think of the blessings that the youth had, belonging to the 12 tribes of Israel under that pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire. They received manna, water out of the rock. The Lord has led them. The Lord has provided. The Lord has protected and brought into the promised land. Oh, people of God with a soft heart, that arouses for our youth a holy jealousy. It's a soft heart that is a tender heart. Close life to the Lord. Afraid to sin. That is also a dependent life. Because when Job says, "For God maketh my heart soft," an impression that the Lord is everything in his hand. When the Lord may grant an impression, it is true in Job, it was in the way of trials. But still to be given to see that the Lord is everything in his hand, and what the Lord has promised for his people, then a soft heart. Then they shall be afraid to slap the Lord in his face and take matters in their own hand. For God maketh my heart soft. Fourthly, the watchfulness over a soft heart. Christ has said to his church in Matthew 13 to pray, to watch and to pray, because it takes so little. Can be softness, one thought, question, providential happening, and that softness is gone. When we think of a Pharaoh, there was also a certain outward softening. We even read in Exodus 9, with that plague of fire, thunder, and hail, that a Pharaoh was even said to Moses, "I and my people have sinned. We have done wickedly." And then Moses has prayed that the hail would cease. And then we read a few verses later that he sinned the more. When we read in the scripture of the hardening of the heart, a heart that is hardened, that has been somewhat softer. Our older boys in school, you have learned it in metal shop, concerning metal. To harden metal, you heat it up, and then you cool it very quickly, and it becomes very hard. For God maketh my heart soft. Then it is implied, when we think of this text, the necessity a guard over our heart for the unconverted and for God's people. And especially in our day, life used to be simpler, of course. Trouble is that evil within the heart. But in former days, our families were much more secluded from the world. Not speak to so many people, could not listen, see evil things. Thus when we read, "For God maketh my heart soft," and then we need to turn it into a prayer, that the Lord, when we are young, that we may keep a tender conscience. Above all, of course, a new heart that may remain soft. Soft concerning sin and for the things of the Lord. Then how necessary to turn our text into a prayer, and not to trust in our own strength, but to ask the Lord to keep us. For God maketh my heart soft. Let us think of this past week, each concerning our heart. Have there been those moments? Or let's say a month. Could go longer. But it is so necessary and profitable when we have a text. A Job could say, even under the greatest trial, sitting on a pile of ashes with sackcloth, who has been tried like a Job? For God maketh my heart soft. How is it with us? Are there times, boys and girls, that in church, that your heart may become soft and that you think, now we have to pray more, read my Bible more diligently, and ask the Lord that He may give a new heart that is so soft concerning the things of the Lord. Young people, sometime you see it, boys and girls, when they are young, a tender and a soft heart, that maybe father and mother even speak to one another, is the Lord now working in the heart of my boy or girl? And then when such a child becomes, you know, how old? 13, 14, 15, 16, that you see even in an outward way. Maybe there are young people that say, that is my picture. Then go on your knees and say, Lord, wilt thou now not give me over to the hardening of the heart, but wilt thou make my heart soft for the things of the Lord? Wilt thou convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? For God maketh my heart soft. Maybe older ones in this morning, when you think back when you were younger, maybe times that you can remember that your heart was so soft, so broken, a serious sermon, exercised with death and eternity, a special trial, maybe a death. What an impression it has made. And how is it this morning? All gone? Oh, go then on your knees and say, Lord, we have heard that thou art the maker. Wilt thou convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? My God, for God maketh my heart soft. People of God, how is it with that heart? When many of God's people think of that first time, when the Lord, they may believe, begun that good work. Oh, then how soft, how tender, how humble that heart was concerning those 3 points. That missing His law, His word, and His presence. Then they did not even have to ask for a soft heart. Oh, in the beginning, they were amazed that so many people, even when they came out of church, did not have a soft heart. The church learns it all comes from above. A soft, a tender heart in the exercises of grace that has been merited by that precious mediator, and concerning that heart, how necessary, how precious he becomes, he remains in his threefold office. Blessed that people that may have that tender, close life that is given oftentimes to complain. There's already a good complaint. Oh, many times God's people, they can speak so reformed and so orthodox concerning these matters, but where the humility and the sorrow was missed. But blessed that people, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death, all for God's true people. A soft heart, for God maketh my heart soft, the desire, each time by renewal. But here, it is only in part. But at the day of their death, then they shall receive in perfection a soft heart that shall be enabled and given to praise the triune God for his grace. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of a precious confession of Job. Wilt thou grant it unto us and our children, even outwardly in this day? But Lord, that is only for the time. We need a new heart, a heart of flesh that becomes soft, and each time by renewal is made soft. Watch over us in this day. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 19, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a classes meeting this coming Wednesday, July 6, beginning at 9 a.m. in Nobleford, and the prayer service on Tuesday evening at 7:30, also in Nobleford. The second wedding announcement of Gerrit Elidus van de Breinhost and Geraldine Denise van Esch. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, July 8 at 10 a.m. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And Reverend A. J. Gunst passed away in the Netherlands at the age of 81 years. And the class's Far West Youth Conference is scheduled for this coming Saturday in Fort McLeod. Psalter 19, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.